Good morning. Welcome to our service of worship today. As we gather together to worship God, you're all very welcome. For the folks who are here in the church, for those who may be in cars, and indeed for those who are down in the hall, I trust and pray that as we gather together to worship God, that you will be blessed and that God will be glorified. It does seem strange coming to church on Boxing Day, doesn't it? So you're all very welcome. Now, God willing, I will be taking a few days off from tomorrow until Monday, until next Monday. And during that period, the Reverend David Kern from Kevinalek in Auchentane is providing pastoral cover. So, should you need a minister over that period, please contact one of the elders who have David's telephone number. Joanne and I would just like to take this opportunity to wish you all a very happy, peaceful and prosperous new year. I'm going to read from God's word now. Just to refocus our minds to do so, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Let us stand to sing our opening praise, "Angels from the Realm of Glory."
Thank you.
Let us come before God in prayer now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we join together in prayer this hour, we do so to give you thanks for being able to gather in worship of you on this day. We also give you thanks for the significance of this day in our religious calendar, in that it comes the day after we celebrate the birth of your Son and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The day that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. The day that heralded your Son entering this world as a newborn baby. Heavenly Father, if we are truly honest, the magnitude of that event is completely lost on us. We simply cannot grasp the true significance of it. We simply cannot comprehend why you took it upon yourself to resolve the problem of sin that we are guilty of. We simply cannot grasp why you have, or why you love fallen humanity so much that you made a way by which our sins can be removed from us and we can be reconciled to you. We cannot understand this, O Lord, because we have not given you any reason to do this. We, O Lord, have sinned against you. We question your authority, Lord. We doubt your integrity and we reject your wisdom and guidance. We accuse you of being too strict, too controlling, so we live as we see fit. And then, when we suffer the consequences, we accuse you of being unkind for allowing those outcomes to take place. We want you to protect us, but not to tell us how to live. We want you to change your ways so we can continue in ours. We want you to serve us, but not for us to serve you. Heavenly Father, there are so many ways in which we sin against you in thought, word, and deed. We do so deliberately and also on occasion by mistake. We have no merit whatsoever of our own, but yet, because of your amazing grace, you offer us salvation by grace through faith in Christ. You offer to erase our past and give us a new future. You do not ask us to demonstrate our goodness to you before you will give us a hearing. All you ask us to do is to admit our guilt and our need for your grace, our need for your forgiveness. Heavenly Father, forgive us, we pray, for our sinfulness. Help us this day to gain a fresh understanding of your amazing grace, your unwavering love, and your unfailing faithfulness towards us. Help us this day to recognize that with Christ's birth, you offer all who believe in him the chance to be born again as a new creation in your kingdom. Hear this, our prayer, O Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our reading this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, where we will begin reading at verse 8, which is the account of the shepherds and the angels. So Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and the angel, or with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. And we end our reading there at verse 20, and thank God for this reading from His truth. Can you bring up that? Now we have our, boys and girls, we have a word on our screen which says ordinary. And that word means that there's nothing special about something. Okay? If something is ordinary, it does not look or do anything different from other things that are the same as it. And I want us to think about ordinary for a few moments. All right. There's only a couple of children here in the church, and there may be others outside in the cars or indeed down the hall. So Jack and Joy are under extreme pressure this morning in here. But maybe the adults will help them out. What have I got here? Anybody? What have I got, Jack, in my hand? Somebody shout it out. Toothbrush. Yes, that's a toothbrush, okay? And it's just an ordinary one. Okay, it has a handle. This section here for me to hold on to. It has some bristles on the end here. Okay, for me to put toothpaste on. There's nothing special about this toothbrush whatsoever. It's what you'd expect an ordinary toothbrush to look like. And it will do what you would expect an ordinary toothbrush to do. Okay. What I have here, though, slightly different, is an electric toothbrush. You're already saying, depend that man too much, he's got an electric toothbrush. Okay. An electric toothbrush. Now, when compared to this one, there is a difference. You will see, for instance, the head on is a lot smaller. Okay, and whereas the head on this one doesn't move unless I physically make it move, that one does. When you turn it on, it rotates. Okay, the head on this one is a lot smaller because they tell us, the people, the experts tell us that with a little bit of toothpaste on that smaller head, and because it rotates, they tell us it is better at cleaning your teeth. Okay, so it's smaller round as opposed to rectangular. So in comparison to this toothbrush, this one is different. It's special. Okay, now, next thing, what have I got here? What do you reckon this is? Not good answer. Adults, what do you reckon? Pardon? Dog's collar. Indeed, it's a dog's collar. As you can see, it has a strap and it has a buckle for me to attach around the dogs. As you can see from this, I don't have a big dog. Okay. I was joking with John this morning, I should have gone and bought a massive collar, just let you think I'd bought some massive hound. Okay. And it's got a loop on here to attach the lead. It's an ordinary dog's collar. It does exactly what you'd think expect a dog's collar to do. And indeed, if the dog puts on weight, you can expand it to fit around the dog's neck. Okay. And when I take my dog for a walk, I attach the lead to this here. Okay. And allows it me to keep a hold of the dog. Okay. Now, what about this then? Another dog collar. Okay, and at first glance, it looks remarkably like an ordinary dog's collar. Okay, but in here, point with my pen, there's a little battery and a switch. And when I press on that, probably won't see it, but it flashes. Okay, I don't know why you can see it in the light, but it flashes. Okay, so it's a bit luminous and it flashes, and it'll either flash at two different speeds or stay on, like so. And this is because, okay, and to put like an ordinary one, you can put it around the dog's neck, etc., and attach the dog's lead to it. But, okay, because I walk the dog in the morning when it's dark, and mostly in the evenings when it's dark, and because my dog is black, okay, when I switch this on, it means that not only can I see said dog, okay, but it also means that anybody using the road when I'm out walking the dog will hopefully see my dog also. Okay, although I do keep her on a lead now. Okay, so compared to an ordinary one, this is slightly special, or this is special. Okay. Next. What are these? Gloves. Okay, woolen gloves. Okay, they're ordinary woolen gloves, as you can see. They fit over my hand and fit over my fingers and my thumb, okay? Keep my hands nice and warm when I'm out walking, say, a dog on a cold, frosty morning or on a cold evening. Nice woolen gloves, keep your hand, but they're just ordinary gloves, okay? And they just look like, and they do what you'd expect ordinary gloves to do. What about these then? What do you reckon these are used for? Motorbike, that's right. These are motorcycle gloves. Okay? These are motorcycle gloves. Now, in comparison to ordinary gloves, they are special because they're made of stronger stuff. So if I unfortunately fall off, they'll protect my hands. They're also, that stronger stuff helps keep my hands warm when it is cold weather. And they're also waterproof to help keep my hands dry when it starts raining. Okay, and even on this one here, the right hand one doesn't have it, but on this one here, on the thumb, is a little piece of rubber strip, because unless you've ridden a motorcycle, you won't understand that unless you reach a certain speed, you can't keep your visor clear when it's raining. You have to go at a certain speed for the wind to remove the rain from your visor. But when you're traveling slow in slow-moving traffic, etc., you haven't got wipers like cars, so you can put this up to your face and wipe your screen or wipe your visor with a little rubber strip on the thumb. Okay, so in comparison to these are special. These are ordinary, but these are special gloves. Okay, so we've looked at a couple of different types of things that are ordinary and some things are special. And the reason I'm talking about the difference between ordinary and special is that in our Bible reading today, we read about some ordinary men who were shepherds who were out watching over their sheep at night time when they were visited by an angel of the Lord, and they were told some wonderful news about the birth of Jesus Christ. There was nothing special whatsoever about those men. They were just out there looking after their sheep when suddenly this angel appeared to them and told them this good news about Jesus. And then they went and found Jesus. And afterwards they then told others about what they had seen and heard. And I really like this particular story, boys and girls, because it reminds me that we do not have to be special people to hear and accept God's word. God doesn't only speak to adults or children or people who have some special gift. Anyone who believes that Jesus died for their sins and asks God to forgive them and Jesus to be their Savior can have their sins forgiven. It also reminds us that we don't need to be special to tell others about Jesus. God uses ordinary people to tell other people the most wonderful, the most special news that has ever been told. And that news is that Jesus Christ came into this world to save his people from their sins. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we don't have to be special in order to hear your word, to accept and receive your word. We thank you, Lord, that you accept us as we are. We thank you, Lord, that you tell ordinary people your good news about your Son coming into this world to die for our sins. Lord, help us to hear this, to receive this and accept it, and to ask Jesus to be our Savior. Amen. now going to sing again. Come and join the celebration. Let us come before God in prayer once again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we unite our hearts in prayer once more, we do so to remember those less fortunate than ourselves. We think particularly, O Lord, of the homeless in our land at this time. People who, for whatever reason, live rough and sleep on the streets of our towns and cities. Heavenly Father, we pray that the reasons for their destitution would be properly addressed so that they can be rescued from the existence they know as life. May our local authorities, Lord, be given sufficient funding from central government to provide the help that these people desperately need. And help us, O Lord, to remember that you value these people no less than you value us. Help us, Lord, to recognize that they are made in your image, just as we are. At this time of year, Lord, when we celebrate the birth of your Son with family, we pray for all those who have to work over this festive period, and therefore cannot celebrate like the majority of us. We pray especially for those working in our hospitals and the emergency services, for those who are care workers, for the members of our armed forces on duty both at home here and overseas, and for members of the police service of Northern Ireland who are on duty over this period. Lord, we thank you for the work that they all do. And we pray that they and their families would know your blessing, your protection at this time. We pray too, O Lord, for all those who find Christmas a difficult time of year as they grieve the loss of a loved one. We pray, Lord, that at this time they would know your grace, your comfort and your strength, O Lord. And finally, Heavenly Father, we remember all those in our congregations in Clogher and Glenhoy, and those known to us in the wider community who are laid low with illness at this time. Draw near to them, we pray. Lay your healing hand upon them and provide their anxious loved ones with reassurance and comfort, we pray. These things we ask in our glorious Saviour's name. Amen. The story of the shepherds being visited by an angel of God on the night that Christ was born, and their subsequent visit to see the infant Messiah, is a popular feature of nativity plays that in pre-COVID-19 days, well, those nativity plays used to be performed in schools the length and breadth of our country. Children with a tea towel wrapped around their head and holding a hastily fashioned shepherd's crook always appear at some stage during the play, much to the pleasure of their parents and grandparents. Usually those who get to play the part of a shepherd have no speaking part as such. They simply have to walk onto the stage where they're supposed to gaze at the baby Jesus in the manger or in the arms of his mother. However, given that the baby Jesus is usually a doll or something, it holds no interest for them. So they usually gaze or peer out into the audience to try and see if they can spot their parents or grandparents watching on. And they maybe even give them that small, unscripted wave accompanied by that nervous smile. The grommet smile, I call it. That moment is usually captured on camera also, but then it remains hidden or unseen until possibly the day they get married. Then it appears in a montage of similarly cute but embarrassing photographs. With that in mind, then, is it any wonder that we tend to forget that in the providence of God, shepherds were central to the story of Christ's birth, and that there is much that we can learn from the part that God gave them. And the first thing that can easily escape our attention here as we read about these shepherds is that they were ordinary men who heard God's word. They were ordinary men who heard God's word. Luke doesn't tell us how many shepherds there were that night, simply that they were out in the fields around Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flocks, which was a customary thing to do back then, in order to protect their sheep from predators and thieves. So there these men were, minding their own business that night, when suddenly they and the surrounding area were bathed in a bright light. One minute it was pitch black, the next they were blinded by a great light that was being emitted by something that just appeared in their midst. But then as their eyes adjusted to the bright light, they saw that the something was a someone, but they knew not who or what he was. It is no wonder then that they were terrified. I mean, who of us wouldn't be if such a thing happened to us? At this stage, they had not heard anything. They had just seen the appearance of this individual who shone so brightly amongst them. But then the silence was broken when the angel spoke and said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." There, with those few words, the heavenly herald gave the divine proclamation that the long-promised Messiah had been born. But who did he make it to? Who were the first people in all of God's creation to be told this wonderful news? Shepherds. That's who. They were not wealthy, well-educated, privileged people. They were not people with political power and influence. They were not people who were part of the religious elite those who knew the Jewish scriptures inside out. They were just ordinary men who had no real standing in their society. In the eyes of the world, they had no importance, but yet they were the ones that God chose to tell, first of all, about the birth of his son. These men were invisible to most of their society. In fact, they were even despised by some within it. But they were not invisible to God or despised by him. He chose them to be the first humans outside the family of Christ to be the recipients of news that has quite literally changed the world. This reminds us that God's word and the message of salvation which it contains is not the preserve of the rich, the elite, the well-educated, or the influential. Nor is it the preserve of an ethnic grouping or nationality of people, but rather it is available to all people. As the angel of the Lord said that night, it is good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So it does not matter who you are, what age you are, whether you are male or female, or what your standing in this world is. The message of salvation that God's word contains is for you. These shepherds were ordinary men who heard God's word, but that's not all, because as we consider this story, we can also see that they were ordinary men who believed God's word. They believed God's word. Now, at first glance, this might not seem to be something worthy of note, but such is our familiarity with this story, we can easily miss it. As we know, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." I wonder, have you ever considered the extraordinary nature of that declaration? The first part of that declaration tells them about the birth of the Messiah, the long-awaited deliverer of God's people, the one spoken of by prophets for centuries. But over those centuries, people had come to believe that the Messiah would be a great political and military leader, one who would deliver God's people from foreign domination and restore Israel's independence. Someone in the ilk of King David, who could defeat all of Israel's enemies and make the nation prosperous once again. That is the impression that most people had about the Messiah. So, given that, can you see how strange it is? How ridiculous even the second part of that declaration would have sounded to these men? Therein, these shepherds were told that the Messiah was not to be found in the house of an influential family with connections in high places, where you might expect him to be born. No. He was to be found wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Israel's deliverer, the one who would make all things right, was lying in an animal feeding trough not too far from where these men were. The declaration about Christ's birth, accompanied by the humble circumstances he could be found in, would have sounded nonsensical to these men. But yet they took the angel at his word, and as verse 16 tells us, they hurried off to find Jesus. They did not seek to understand what they had been told. Instead, they accepted it. They believed God's word to them. In a similar way, many people today find the idea of Christ's anointed one, or God's anointed one, Christ the Messiah, being born as a baby into this world, as unbelievable. Not only that, but they also find the idea that he was born in such humble circumstances even more unbelievable. That is because it does not fit with their idea of how such a thing should happen if in their opinion it is true. To them, it is too incredible that God would do such a thing, leaving his son in the care of two people at the bottom end of the social spectrum who had few resources and could not possibly protect the child God had entrusted to their care. Neither does it fit with their view of things that Christ was born into the world in order to sacrifice himself upon a Roman cross to die for sin and face his heavenly Father's righteous wrath. All so that those who seek forgiveness in his name, trusting in his achievements, not their own, are granted the forgiveness of their sins. None of this makes sense to them, so they reject it. However, there are others who, like these shepherds, do not seek to understand. Instead, they accept it as God's word and receive the blessings of God that result from it. These shepherds believed God's word that evening, and they got to see the infant Messiah. They got to see God with us. Likewise, all who believe God's word will get to see the risen Christ as their Messiah when their eyelids close in death and he welcomes them into glory. But unlike the shepherds that evening, it will not only be for a brief moment in time. It will be for eternity. These shepherds were ordinary men who heard God's word, and they believed God's word. And finally, Luke tells us here that they were ordinary men who proclaimed God's word. They hurried off to find Jesus and find him along with Mary and Joseph, just as the angel had told them. And you can imagine them telling Joseph and Mary what had happened to them, how an angel had appeared to them and told them about Christ's birth, and how a great company of the heavenly host had appeared and sang that wonderful anthem, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." We don't know how long they were there, how long they gazed at their Messiah, their great Redeemer. But we do know what they did when they left. As verse 17 tells us, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Earlier that night, these men had been visited by a heavenly herald who made the divine proclamation that the Messiah had been born. And following their visit to see him for themselves, they became heralds of that same message. They told those they encountered that the Messiah had been born and that they had seen him. They were not trained in the art of public speaking. They were not trained theologians. They did not have all the answers, but that did not stop them talking about Christ. And you know, when I consider this, it challenges me and it reassures me. It challenges me to consider if I, as one who knows Christ as my Savior, talk about him as these men did. Not talking about him as some strange, hard to grasp concept, but as living and active in my life. Not talking about him in a past or future tense, but in the present tense. Talking as one who knows Christ personally. Talking in such a way about Christ that even though people may not believe what I tell them, they have no doubt that I believe what I'm saying. It also reassures me that the power lies not in the messenger, but in the message. We don't know who these men were, but we do know who they told people about. So we should not think that God cannot use us to tell others about Christ. We should not think that doing so is only the preserve of those who are trained to do so, or those who have an obvious, in our opinion, gift for it. God simply wants us to tell a watching, listening, skeptical world about Christ. and to leave the rest up to Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for reminding us that we don't have to be special to hear Your word, or to receive Your word, or to tell others about it. We thank You, Lord, that You accept us as we are, when we come to You by faith in Christ. And we thank You, Lord, that You can use us as we are. And that's all You want us to do, to simply speak about Christ as these men did, and to leave the rest up to You. Lord, these men were the first heralds, the first evangelists, if you like. Help us, Lord, to be likewise. Help us, Lord, to follow their example and speak as these men did. Amen. Let us stand to sing our closing prayers while shepherds watch their flocks by night. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favour rests. The blessing of God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you forevermore. Amen.